Stephen Chill here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how real estate valuation, you know, valuing property, can kill companies. And yes, I intentionally included the word kill in the title for effect.
Point taken. Do you soften the titles often?
No, I guess I don't.
I'm like, what am I missing here?
Real estate valuation on both sides, on the acquisition and the sale. If you listen to yesterday's episode, we were really clear about how we feel about it. It's we probably don't spend enough time on this topic. We will now. We'll clarify it all.
Oh, totally.
And why it's so important.
You know, I would like to add, though, you know, sometimes I think you hold back. And I'm here to tell you, Stephen, you know, I know you've been, you know, really skipping along the top, holding back. I'm being totally sarcastic, obviously.
When Jill and I started the show in, I think it was 2015. It was 1,100 episodes ago. I just looked back on that stuff and how different. You're pretty much the same. About how different I was. I was just really like a curmudgeon and...
You think so? Know,
yeah, because that's how... honestly, this is the truth. Oh. I really think to get stuff done in business, you know, I think there's a place for being positive, but I really think that you have to just tell yourself the truth, tell the people that you're doing business with, whether they're partners or... But this really ties into the show, actually. Ties into this episode. Exactly how, you know, just be a straight shooter and call it like it is. And some deals are, even though they're great deals financially, are just going to blow up for a bunch of valuation reasons and a lot of it. So I didn't think the show would become as popular as it is. So I honestly tried to be a little bit more upbeat.
Oh, back then or now?
Now.
Oh, okay, got it.
I never thought we'd get to 1,000 episodes. Oh. I figured it would be a once a week thing that, you know, faded away after a few months.
Oh.
So I changed my attitude a little bit just to make it a little bit more interesting. But the truth of it is, and it'll come out on this episode because I've just opened that door for myself. You got to just be an honest, straight person and to get real deals done.
That's very
and
true.
You need to be fair. Fair with everybody involved, both on the buy side and the sell side. And that's what this show is about.
That's what I wrote down, too.
Oh, good.
Before
we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
John S. asks, had a seller say that they only use their title company that they've dealt with before, even going as far to say as they'd pay for them if needed. Well, I'd take them up on that one, that's for sure. Seems strange to me that they'd be willing to foot the bill to use a title company on the sell side. Anything I should be concerned with? No. I think they're comfortable with them. They know Sally Smith. They've always worked with Sally Smith. Sally Smith lives around the corner. Maybe Sally Smith goes to church with them. I don't know. They think Sally Smith is going to make sure that everything's done correctly and and they're getting a good deal and you're legit, something like that. I have no red flags.
This is very, very, very common. Mm-hmm. This is extremely common in commercial real estate. And here's why. The person that you're probably dealing with is either one has a family in the business, somebody in the, like a sister, it's their sister, which is fine. Jill's right. It's fine no matter what. Or, and this has been my experience, especially in commercial real estate, they've had so many bad title agents. Usually commercial real estate people are in a, like, from block X to block Y. Like, they don't go jump state to state like we do. They're in one local MSA. They might not even jump county lines. And so they've been dealing with Sally Smith at First American Commercial for 22 years. And they're just, they have a, you know, telepathic understanding. And so, no, it's not going to, especially if they're going to pay for it. I think they just did half the work.
I'd say done and done.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, great. Here, let me know. It's almost like, even as the buyer, like, let me know where to show up and sign. Love it. You got this?
I mean, if they wanted you to pay for it, and then it ended up being $2,500 instead of $1,200, then that's a different story. But the green light there is they're going to pay for it all.
Well, I've had this situation. If I had some, like, I had a title agent with a pre-negotiated rate, and it was a good rate, and then somebody else said, and it was an agent involved in this one. No, we want to use this one. I said, fine, I don't care, but they have to match my rate. And that's money. That's easy to say. So he went to that agent, and the agent said, I can't match that rate. So they came back to mine.
Yeah, they chose that agent that they love after 42 failures with other agents.
Right.
And I mean escrow agent, not title agent.
Right.
I mean real estate agent.
Yeah.
Today's topic, how real estate valuation, the property itself, valuing it, can kill companies. This is the meat of the show.
I can sum this up in one sentence.
Oh, I really want to hear it.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of reputation do you want? That's it. Done. End of show.
Here's what's worked for Joe. Here's the business model that's worked for Joe forever. Tens of millions of dollars we've created in equity for ourselves. And if that means we've created tens of millions for ourselves as wholesalers, you know, triple that for the people who buy the property from us and then go resell it. Mm-hmm. And that's our business model. We're going to buy a property. Let's say the property is probably worth $50,000. We typically buy it for $10,000 or $15,000. We resell it to somebody for $30,000. We try to double our money. They couldn't thank us more. And then they maybe either go improve it. Maybe they just go and sell it for $50,000. After they're $30,000 into it, that's fine too. Maybe they sell it on terms. They do a bunch of stuff with it, and that's not our. And so, you know, that has been our business model forever. Now, we could buy that same property that's worth $50,000 for $15,000, like I just said, and mark it up to $60,000, and then do a bunch of smoke and mirrors about why it's $60,000. And by the way, we've been doing this since the '90s, so everybody trusts us. Mm-hmm. So we could take advantage of that and say, well, here's why it's actually worth $60,000. It's got a $50,000 valuation, I get it, but it's worth $60,000 when it's not.
Right.
We just want to get as much juice out of the whole property as we can. This really bugs me, this topic.
I know. It's okay. Hold on. Breathe.
Maximizing value, especially on the south side, is the fastest way to not be a successful real estate investor.
Again, what kind of reputation do you want? Yep. Think about the guy that I love. Like, example A, buy for 15, sell for 30, it's worth 50. Okay, the guy you bought it for 30, it's worth 50, is jumping up and down.
Yep.
He's happy with you. He loves you. He can't wait to get more. He's coming back to you and go, what else do you have? What else do you have? What else do you have? That's what you want. Not like what you just said. Buy for 15, sell for 60, and the guy is like feeling sick to his stomach, going, doggone it, I overpaid. What kind of people are those guys?
Yes.
Man, that just, you know, he's not happy. Now I got to do this to make sure I get my money out of it. I overspent on this one. What am I going to do?
He's never going to buy anything from you again.
Exactly.
Versus the first way, he's going to buy the rest of his properties from you.
Exactly.
Probably exclusively.
Yep. And no questions asked. He knows how you roll.
On the acquisition side, so the vast majority of the properties that we buy, people call us and say, oh my gosh, I got your letter. I would love to sell this property for $15,000. I know it's worth more, but I'm in a life circumstance, and maybe I'm not even a life, I'm just dad. I'm getting older, and I just don't care. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a garage sale mentality. I know that all the stuff in my garage is probably worth, I probably paid $10,000 for it. But I'm willing to let it go for $800 today because I just want to clean my garage out and I'm going to go to work on Monday. Mm-hmm. So that's the same reason that people choose to sell real estate to us. It's a convenience factor. Mm-hmm. Could Jill go in on that $15,000 property knowing that it's a garage sale and say, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, I know I sent you a purchase agreement for $15,000. We're only willing to spend $7,000 now. And the vast majority of the time, they're going to say, yep, we just had a deal like this, Jill and I. It wasn't our decision. It was the person that is working with us on the deal. I thought it would be a good idea to do this. And the seller said yes for much higher numbers than I'm describing now. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm writing this topic, because we had a personal situation with a partner that we're doing a deal with that went into this, reduced the acquisition of a house by $20,000. And the person immediately said yes. They're just totally taking advantage of the situation. Our person is, our partner.
We've had it happen to us too. This is a thing too. What you don't want to do, I hate it when this happens, and it makes me so mad. I'll never do. We all know who I'm talking about. This individual. When I explain the situations, he did it to us twice. I think we had negotiated a multi-unit sale, and 2 days before closing day, he changes what you know I'm talking about. Okay, not even that.
It was it the 30 last minutes hour? Before it was getting funded. God. I'm going to send, we were on the south side. I'm getting ready to do the wire transfer, and I just looked this at this again, and I can only pay X.
Mm-hmm. And you're that far in. You're done.
Yep.
And what are you going to do? The deal's done.
Everything's done.
Yeah. You know. What kind of person is that?
The last one.
Maybe we should say his name. No, just kidding.
He's not in the business anymore.
Oh, well, no kidding. No. Gee, I wonder why. Because I'm sure if he did it to us, he did it to other people yeah. too. And that's the thing you don't want to do
also.
This is
a huge deal.
I will never do that. You know, and that's the thing that we tell people on the phone. And this is the transparency I'm talking about. And this is what our buyers know and expect of us, which is, you know, I sent an offer letter out. You sign it, send it back. It says on there, that's the amount net to you. I'm going to pay the fees.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay the closing costs. I'm going to do all that. And it really is true. They go, and I'm sure half the time they're going, wow, I really did get a check and 32 cents, as they said on the offer letter. That's really what I got. Yeah, I didn't change it last minute.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that person. And even, you know what? Let me take it a step further, because this happens to us. This happens to us. Not very often, but more than once it's happened, and this is how we roll. We have got into situations and gone, oh, shoot. I didn't realize there was this much back taxes. Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, man, there's an HOA, and I got to catch that up. But you know what? I promise this lady this. I know I still have enough skin in the game. It's going to work. I'm not going to get as much out of it as I did, but it's the right thing to do, and that's how we roll. So, and I don't know if we even tell them that. I just know this is what goes on behind the scenes. I'm like, shucks. Usually for me, it's a learning moment with you know my team that, hey guys, we got to be sure we always check this stuff because we're not going to get as much on this deal. But hey, we promised we have to follow through.
So I'm going to flip this whole thing. I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to flip it all 180 degrees. And here's some comments I've gotten over the years. If you had any integrity at all, you would pay this person the retail value of the property. You know, I've had that comments from many, many, many people. And they just don't, they're very, very unaware of what goes on in real estate. So some of you may be listening to this saying that exact sentence. Well, get off your horse, get off your high horse. You know, you're paying people 25% of the value of this property. Yeah, we're doing them a favor, and they say that we're mm-hmm. doing it. You know, we constantly in our acquisition process are saying, "Yeah, we know this is cheaper. We know this is cheaper, and we know if you don't want it, then sell it to us. If you want to sell it to us, and you want to go hire a real estate agent, I've heard Jill's got a million lines like this. We wish you the best. And you know what I've seen her do actually? In a lot of cases, these properties come to us because the actual owner of record has passed away. So there's a lot of legal stuff that's got to be undone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at the property and they think it's worth 150 grand or whatever, some number. But they don't take into fact that if they went out to a lawyer and tried to undo the whole estate thing that didn't get done right and all of that, there's thousands and thousands of dollars, which, by the way, we do for free for the purchase of the price. So they end up coming back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been around the block 50 times, and it's not a lack of integrity issue or taking advantage of anybody or any of that. You know, I would say to that person, the next time you go to a garage sale, if there's a microwave there that's been used for 4 years
mm-hmm.
and their purchase price was $200, I think you should give them $200 for that microwave.
I agree, because it still works.
Not the $10. And if you go to, you know, who goes to a garage sale and says, that's got a $10 sticker on it, here's $10. No, you say, I'll give you five and I'll give me all this other stuff and I'm loading the car up. And in fact, I'll give you $150 for all of it.
Right. Exactly. It's like I want to say, and you always pay full price, right? You tell when you're ringing up your items at the store, you always say, I don't want the sale price. I want the full retail value.
Yeah, I haven't said my milk analogy lately, but when you go buy milk, you have three choices to buy a gallon of milk today. You can go to the convenience store right over here. It costs about probably $8 now. You can go to a grocery store, probably costs $4 to $6, I don't know milk prices. Or you can go to Walmart or Costco or something like that where it's really cheap, like cost plus 10-15%, so it's $3 or $4. But you don't take it up to the counter and say, this is an outrage. This price is an outrage.
Could you imagine?
And then if you do, you check up.
Could you imagine? I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go to Circle K. I'm gonna buy a gallon of milk. I'm going to put it on the counter and I'm going to say, do you price match Costco? Could you imagine? So, they would laugh at me. Like, no.
We're spending a lot of time on this topic and we're throwing a lot of humor at it. But the fact is, it'll kill your company.
You don't want to be
maximizing price on the sell side and minimizing price or valuation on the buy side will kill your company. It'll kill it in less than a year.
Word will get out. You don't want to be that person. Do the right thing.
There's some properties that are in our system. I just saw, I've never seen anything like this. Again, we have some new people. And their prices are listed for $109. This is what they negotiated, $192 a property. And so that just hit me in the face.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Some seller's getting taken advantage of, and I'm going to go undo this. You know, it's not often that I get involved in these deals in our companies. And so, and I understand that when people are new and they've been trained their whole life to like just barter and get stuff cheap as you can and, you know, kind of like maximize value on that deal. And that's not how we do this.
Right.
It's hard to convey that to somebody who's been doing it forever.
It's true. Thank you.
Join us next time for another interesting episode.
And we answer your questions. Post on our online community found at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Silence, Jill.
I know. I was waiting for you. I thought you often have a lot to say here. I'm waiting for you on the after show.
I actually ranted enough.
Oh, you got it all out. Is that possible?
This topic.
Are you
going to
be
so
quiet
important.
The rest of the day? You got it all out.
That's like a woman's dream.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, he hasn't said anything in 2 days.
Yeah.
This is great.
I'm good with that. We're both good with that. We're actually unusual people.
Actually, we are.
I don't want to say a lot. You don't want to say a lot. It's like, woohoo, perfect.
Jill and I were hanging out after work 2 days ago, and it's like, I looked at her and said, I don't think we said anything for 2 hours. She's like, yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
It's perfect. The Land Academy Daily Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you are listening or wherever you are watching, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.